Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, ja wiviva kat bang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace how? Go vegan, from the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget pharmaceutical kill, vivisection prison, killitary industrial corporation, in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NSA, NRA, USA, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, inexplicably broadcasting now for over 14 years, currently syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network, GCN. And, yes, as heard on the Air America Radio Network and CBS and Clear Channel radio stations, we are live Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. You can click Listen Live at GoVeganRadio.com, where the programs are archived. Next hour, well, if you're a vegan who still supports Farm Sanctuary and HSUS and, you know, all of those sellout groups, you won't be supporting them for long after we listen to the smoking gun audio that pretty much tells us that all of these animal organizations have kind of morphed into the meat, dairy, and egg industries. You can't tell the difference anymore between animal advocates and animal killers. And I think when Farm USA, the organizer of the so-called Animal Rights Conference, or ARCON, inducted an egg salesman this year into its Hall of Fame, someone who actually works for the heinous meat industry group, the Humane Society of the United States. I think that's the eggshell that broke the vegan's back. I think really, you know, it's time. It's time to revolt against all of these revolting organizations. It's really time to rise up, stand up, boot them to the curb, reboot the movement. We'll get into that more next hour. So frustrating to see the selling out, the betrayal of the animals, and all these pseudo vegans now on the attack against veganism. Whew. Anyway, this weekend is really marks somewhat of a strange anniversary for me. It was 50 years ago this weekend, August 22nd, 1965. I can remember that day so well, that my father died at age 47 of a sudden heart attack. It was summer. We were in Far Rockaway at the beach, and I came home to the where we were staying. I think it was a bungalow colony in Far Rockaway. And people were telling me, he got sick from something he ate, and little did they know how true that was. But there was 50 years ago this weekend, you know, my father just suddenly died, leaving my mother, my younger sister, and me really in a state of shock. You know, we were young kids. I mean, I still could hear my sister at age 7, you know, who's so attached to my father, asking my mother, "You mean we'll never see him again?" There is a certain finality to death. He was only 47 when his diet of so-called meat, dairy, fish, and eggs killed him. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Today's most advanced medical science tells us that that's the case. Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn of the highly renowned Cleveland Clinic tells us that no one has to get heart disease. No one has to get heart disease. But because You know, we're an herbivore, definitely not in our right mind, which can be said in so many ways. And we are an herbivore, by the way, and if you don't believe that, come to the World Vegan Summit and Expo next July in Berkeley. We'll probably open the event with Dr. Milton Mills talking about why we are an herbivore. We're not an omnivore. We're not a carnivore. We are an herbivore. And when herbivores eat flesh and blood and secretions and pus, all that good stuff, you know, look at what happens. All my father's brothers and sisters had heart disease. Every single one of them. Most of them dropping dead of heart attacks themselves. And so we thought, heart disease runs in our family. It's in our genes. But it turns out it's on our plates. We were all eating a diet high in saturated fat and cholesterol. You know, so every single meal that we had, as I remember as a child, every single meal had meat or dairy or fish or eggs. And you know, my mother, who was barely 40 when she became a widow, was heartbroken. She never really recovered, you know, and never really knew that it was all because of the death parlor we had in the house, known as our kitchen. Of course, she never wanted to poison her husband or her kids. You know, no parent could possibly want to poison his or her children and put them on a direct path to heart disease and cancer and diabetes and stroke and all the major diseases. So, what are we to do about it now? Premature death is, I might say, from experience, a rather it's really unpleasant for all concerned, to tell you the truth. I mean, then of course I didn't think I would ever make it to 47. You know, you kind of get that set in your mind that, wow, look at the young age that he died. Don't realize how young 47 actually is. So maybe going vegan had something to do with my making it past 47. Maybe being vegan now for 31 years has helped me make it to the age where I can remember events half a century ago. I don't feel old enough, you know, to remember something 50 years ago or 40 years ago or 30 years ago. Or I mean, I still feel like I'm 17, 19. I don't know. I've always been immature for my age anyway, so it's hard to tell. But anyway, from what we now know, even that heart disease is reversible with a healthy vegan diet. My friend Fred Lundgren in Texas certainly knows that. When I met him years ago, he was on his deathbed, over 300 pounds. The doctors had given up on him. They wouldn't do surgery. I said, I don't know what to tell you, Fred. Let me put you in the direction of Caldwell Esselstyn, MD. I won't give you my vegan, you know, my vegan path, but you know, check him out, because I mean, he's dealt with people on their deathbed, and you know, Fred was just given months to live years ago. He's still alive and kicking now because he went vegan. Going vegan is really the highest of family values. People think it's extreme, you know. Really, what's extreme is eating a decomposing cadaver, right? Pathogen-laden, poop-covered cadaver. That's extreme. You know, cutting open your chest, moving around, you know, veins and arteries and all. That seems extreme to me. So, I don't know. It seems like the very nice, conservative, middle-of-the-road family value, if we want to keep mom and dad around for a while, at least put the odds in their favor, would be to go vegan. So really, I mean, going vegan is really the highest of family values. It's the highest of moral values. I mean, it's the highest of environmental values. It's pretty much cures everything. So aberrant is that behavior of consumption of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. It's so unlike us. I mean, what if you had to kill every animal whom you eat? How fast would it take for you to go vegan? Huh? Well, I don't know, what kind of world do you want it to be? You know, I mean, let's say you're not selfish. You don't care about your health. You don't care about mom and dad. You know, who cares, right? Do you care about the planet at all? Did you hear that July 2015, which would be last month, July 2015 was the hottest month ever recorded. The hottest month ever, worldwide. And the highest ocean temperatures ever recorded. Last month. 2015 has been the hottest year so far of any year ever, meaning the first 7 months have been the hottest first 7 months of any year. And last year, 2014, is the hottest year on record, but it looks like we'll be breaking that record again this year. Global land and ocean temperatures in July averaged 1.46 degrees Fahrenheit above the 20th century average. And sea ice continues to melt. Arctic sea ice is almost 10% less than the average between 1981 and 2010. But you know, you'll be seeing that melted sea ice sometime in the near future when you're swimming through it, when we're submerged. These warmer temperatures are also exacerbating drought conditions, as here in California, the West really suffering a drought. You know, warmer air temperature allows for more moisture in the air, more evaporation from the soil. And the soil and the land are collapsing also. You know, the landmass of the Central Valley in California continues to crash, to sink, where aquifers have been, because we've been pumping water out of the aquifers, mainly for animal agriculture. I mean, that's what we waste all our resources, you know. Really? Really? Is it time for a break already? Okay, well, we'll continue this subject. We also have Ellen Jaffe Jones coming up on today's show, best-selling author of Eat Vegan on $4 a Day and Paleo Vegan and Kitchen Divided. She's coming up. Also, the next hour, the smoking gun audio that shows that today's animal rights movement is nothing more than the meat industry in disguise. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, and Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And then there are two extraneous, usually maxed out, but sometimes not, Bob Linden pages on Facebook. Be my friend. I need more friends. I need more vegan friends. I need more people to go vegan to save the world, actually. We all need more vegan friends. We've been talking about July being the hottest month ever recorded, and that 2015 is on pace to be the hottest year ever recorded, the highest ocean temperatures, all of this exacerbating the drought conditions, sucking more moisture out of the soil here in California. And therefore, with the drought, people are sucking more moisture out of the soil in the form of pumping out the aquifers, you know, that took many, many thousands of years to form these underground puddles. And we're just sucking the water out. And as a result, the Central Valley in California is collapsing. It's sinking. Yeah, it's quite amazing. We are crashing and we are burning with the wildfires, all because people eat meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. When will we learn the lesson, huh? So, you know, the aquifers can never fill with water again because the land is sinking and collapsing on them. So end of aquifer, right? The Central Valley is actually sinking pretty fast, you know, at the rate of up to 2 inches per month, you know, so... Anyway, everybody wants to do something about climate change, of course, except the environmental groups and the animal advocacy groups. What do they care? This week, a group of Islamic scholars, leaders, expressed concern for climate change, as has the Pope. And if we really want to do something about climate change, we have to realize that no meat, dairy, fish, or egg consumption is sustainable, kosher, or halal. We need to call climate change what it is, because nobody else will. This is, it's basically meat, dairy, egg, and fish consumption climate change, or animal agriculture climate change. I think I might start actually calling it that, you know, because I don't know, everybody seems to want to keep everyone in the dark, you know, about all of this. Even Democracy Now, the show, the progressive show, which we respect so much, just, you know, the number one cause of climate change, always ignored. Another show this week on climate change on Democracy Now, of course, but the number one cause, ignored. Animal agriculture, responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. A little fact that, no need to bring that up, right? The only solution to climate change, ignored. You know, who needs to go vegan anyway, right? It's too difficult. I mean, you know, we can blame some pipeline somewhere or some coal plant or something, but, oh, go vegan? Give up my meat? You know, to save the planet? Give up meat, dairy, fish, and eggs? I think you're asking too much. So, you know, people feed into that. You know, you have your Naomi Kleins of the world who ignore that. The Fib and Bill McKibbins who ignore that animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change. So, I don't know. So, I don't know what I should start calling it. Animal agriculture climate change or meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption climate change. But since nobody else seems to want to bring up those facts, I mean, pardon me if it gets repetitious here, but you won't hear it anywhere else. So, you know, indulge me, please, when I mention that the world's top climate specialists tell us that the only solution in time is for a population shift. 50 to 85% of us have to go vegan by 2020. Or that glacial ice, you know, we'll be swimming through the glacial ice. So we face submersion in the not too distant future. 1,700 US cities will be submerged if we don't all go vegan. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. So I think that we're having trouble reaching Ellen Jaffe Jones at the moment, this being live radio. So let me tell you a bit about the World Vegan Summit and Expo, which is coming next July. It will be totally different from the Animal Rights Conference, or ARCON. And by the way, coming up next hour, we will discuss the betrayal of animals by many of the groups who are featured at this so-called Animal Rights Conference, or ARCON, that just took place. And I must say that giving an animal rights award, inducting an egg salesman, somebody who arranges for the sale of millions of eggs per year into the Animal Rights Hall of Fame, really just says, tells us what a state of affairs it is with that situation right now. So let's see. I don't think we've gotten a hold of Ellen yet. So the idea behind, you have Ben and Jerry's now. I mean, this is so crazy that everybody's ignoring what the solution for climate change is. I mean, Ben and Jerry's with a Save Our Swirld. And remember, these animal rights groups like Farm, they're all excited that Ben and Jerry's is going to have a vegan flavor. So, but they're saying, SOS, it's more than just a call to action. It's a swirled class flavor you can't resist, and a climate change message you can't ignore. If it's melted, it's ruined. Da, 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 da. So what do they want you to do? Take action on climate change. This is from Ben and Jerry's. See, this is also commercialized and made so corporate when we need to go vegan. And Ben and Jerry's is causing climate change. I mean, cows related to methane. It's just incredible. But and we're expecting results. We're expecting something to happen from corporations, and governments and politicians, when what we really need to do is go vegan. It is the only solution. I mean, all of these people who tell us, we need an alternative energy infrastructure. Well, that will take at least 20 years and $35 trillion. And you have a U.S. Congress that doesn't even recognize that climate change is happening, even though July was the hottest month ever, and 2015 looks like it'll be the hottest year ever after 2014 was the hottest year ever. So, but everybody runs from asking people to go vegan to save the world. And then they, you get something like this from Ben and Jerry's. Take action on climate. As the world prepares for the Paris Climate Summit in December 2015, our friends at Avaaz need millions more to join the climate movement in demanding actions from our nation's leaders. So there's no solution in demanding action from our nation's leaders. There's no solution there, right? I mean, let's get it through our heads. This is all just nonsense. We're all just being diverted by, Fibbin Bill McKibben, this meat eater who, supports ranching and all of this divestiture. None of this will be a solution at all to climate change. And yet, Ben and Jerry's can claim to be a climate leader, these cow killers, these people who poison children and get them on the way to cancer, right? So they want a global energy shift. It says Ben and Jerry's is saying, add your voice to the petition and help them deliver the loudest message yet. The loud message comes from money. Fossil fuel companies have a lot of money. Depending on others, really, at this point, when the only solution is a population shift to going vegan, is insanity. Okay, Ben and Jerry's are saying a global shift to 100% clean energy by 2050 and the complete phase out of carbon pollution isn't just nice, it's necessary. You know what's necessary? It's necessary that Ben and Jerry's go out of business. That's what's necessary. That would help us move along toward climate change. It's necessary that everyone go vegan. So Ben and Jerry says, learn more about how you can support climate change. And so it's this ridiculous petition. Really? So it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So, and you don't really, I mean, you don't sacrifice anything or anyone by going vegan. I suggest you look at the menu at Vegetarian House, a 100% vegan restaurant. Oh, how the word vegetarian has been compromised also. Remember when people used to be, you know, they'd say they were lacto-vegetarian or ovo-vegetarian, so we knew how they cheated and, you know, whom they oppressed with their diet of really doing nothing when you think about it. If you're a lacto-vegetarian, you might as well eat the cow. Right? You might as well, because that's what you're causing. Might as well eat veal, which is what some animal rights groups now tell us. Might as well eat veal. It's crate-free. So you might as well eat the cow. So you were a lacto-vegetarian, which meant you oppressed cows. Lacto-ovo-vegetarian, ovo, so you oppress chickens. And why did you become lacto- or ovo-vegetarian anyway? I mean, if it's for the animals, you're causing immense suffering. It's for your health. We still have the same health risks. And it's so destructive for the environment. So why would that be? Then we just drop the lacto, drop the ovo, and now vegetarian suddenly is non-vegan, non-vegan vegetarian. Doesn't really make any sense. So, and with methane being estimated at up to 100 times worse than carbon. Methane from cows, mainly. Methane from Ben and Jerry's products, but, you know, they change the subject here. You go look at Ben and Jerry's website, and it's Save Our Swirled. You know, everything's an opportunity to cash in, right? I mean, look, these carbon trading hedge fund-like proposals that really will just make Wall Street rich, people trading in nothing, accomplishing nothing, doing nothing. Everything's just an opportunity for the corporations. So Save Our Swirled. It's an opportunity for Ben and Jerry's to come up with another environment-destroying flavor. Save Our Swirled. You go to Ben and Jerry's website, and there's a cow, you know, cartoon cow, holding a sign that says Climate Justice Now. Like, is there anything more hypocritical than this? Climate Justice Now, with a cow holding the sign. Again, Climate Justice Now would mean Ben and Jerry's going out of business. And the cow would like justice also, because every cow is raped to produce dairy. So Ben and Jerry's products are a product of rape, all dairy, a product of rape. That's how it starts. We have to have the baby, so the milk is produced, the lactation. The baby is taken away to be veal or fattened up to be beef. Mama cow, of course, crying, wailing for her baby. And then when she's not productive anymore, she becomes hamburger. So I don't think that the cow would be holding a sign saying Climate Justice Now. I think the cow would be holding a sign saying, get me out of here! Shut down Ben and Jerry's! But farm animal rights movement, whatever, the one who organizes the so-called Animal Rights Conference, or ARCON. All excited about Ben and Jerry's having some vegan flavor in the future, so that we can give our money to Ben and Jerry's, all right, instead of vegan ice cream companies. You know, it's amazing. And I remember back in those old days when I still had a father over 50 years ago. The ice cream trucks would come around, and mommy would drop, I don't know what, 15 cents from the eighth story window. That was a good game for catching pop-ups. You know, it was like good practice for playing ball, trying to catch the 15 cents wrapped in the tissue so we could go over to Bungalow Bar, the ice cream truck that came along. I think, what was it? What do we used to say? We used to say, Bungalow Bar tastes like tar. The more you eat it, the sicker you are. If we only knew the dairy protein, the number one carcinogen to which Americans are exposed. And then the other truck that came around was Good Humor. He's the friendly man who sells good tumor. Little did we know, the tumors in our futures from consuming ice cream. Ice cream, you scream. We all scream for ice cream, especially the cows. Especially the people when they're told they're coming down with cancer. Gotta see the oncologist. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. We will continue. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, and Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, two Bob Linden pages on Facebook also, and WorldVeganSummit.com, where you can register now for the gathering next July in Berkeley, San Francisco Bay Area. Yes, still next hour, I'm going to manage time. We've gotten a hold of Ellen Jaffe Jones and Professor Francione can't be on this week, so I'm going to do my best at time management, because I also do want to incite a revolution next hour, a revolution and uprising against all the sellout organizations who have betrayed the poor animals and inducting an egg salesman into the Animal Rights Hall of Fame, I think, is the eggshell that broke the vegans' back. And you're going to hear some real smoking gun audio that I think, if you support these groups, you won't by the end of this program, if I have it together with time management. So let us get to Ellen Jaffe Jones, who is a prolific author of the best-selling vegan books Eat Vegan on $4 a Day, Paleo Vegan, and Kitchen Divided. As a certified personal trainer and certified running coach, she also placed 7th in the U.S. 1500 meters and 10th in the 400 meters in her age group, and has placed in 88 5K or longer races for her age group since 2006. This is a vegan power here. She's currently first in Florida in the 50, 100, 200, 400, 800, and 1500 meters. And she teaches cooking classes at large health food stores in the Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater area, and has been a speaker at large events in the U.S., Canada, debunking vegan myths all along the way. She was an investigative reporter in Miami and St. Louis and won 2 Emmys and the National Press Club Award during her 18 years in TV news. And welcome back to the program, Ellen. How are you today?
Great, Bob. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being with us. So I think that when last we spoke, it seemed years ago when you had come out with your book, Eat Vegan on $4 a Day. And can we still eat vegan on $4 a day, or has inflation made it, you know, $4.08, or where are we now? Or
yeah, piece of carrot cake. I am always checking prices because I still get asked to talk about this topic, and I just want to make sure that the price of beans hasn't gone up. It actually has gone down just a little bit. So, you know, and people say this in my talks. They say, you know, beans just haven't gone up in price over 30 years. So, yes, it's absolutely, if you get rid of the meat and the dairy and replace it with plant-based protein, not whey protein, but bean protein.
Oh, let me my disclaimer is that I am not responsible for all commercials that run, you know, on the network during this program. So let's remember that. So we're in the vegan world now. So when we say no way, we mean no way, N-O-W-H-E-Y.
Yeah. So
right. And everything has protein anyway. So right.
I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So eat vegan on $4 a day. So I guess the Neanderthals of the world have decided that the paleo diet is you know, we are cavemen apparently. So that seems to become a popular diet, a fad, the paleo diet. And so after vegan on $4 a day, you came out with paleo vegan. So tell us about that.
Well, as you have mentioned, I'm a little bit of a runner. And about 5 years ago, I started hearing my running friends say, oh, I'm going paleo. And I just feel so good. And I'm losing weight. And so I thought, you know, what is this about? And I started reading, so I forced myself to read some of the meat-based paleo books.
Oh,
and,
Ellen, we have to take a break right now. So we'll continue our discussion with Ellen Jaffe Jones on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support the program by clicking Donate. Welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and worldvegansummit.com happening next July. You can register now. Check it out. It will be amazing. It's the vegan answer to the Meat Industry Animal Rights Conference that just took place and gave an egg salesman its highest accolade. So more about that later this hour with some really smoking gun audio for you. But we're talking to Ellen Jaffe Jones, author of Eat Vegan on $4 a Day, we were getting to paleo vegan before the break, and Ellen, you were saying that, you being a runner and holding, an amazing running record for you as a vegan, so you were saying that some of your running friends were saying that they were getting into the paleo diet?
That is correct, and I forced myself to read some of these meat-based paleo books, and I had the sense that they were really just like Atkins or the South Beach diet or the Zone diet, polished up, cleaned up a little bit. Some of the books allowed dairy, some of them didn't. And the interesting thing is that no doctor to date has written a paleo book. It's basically somebody's romantic version of how they believed that our Paleolithic relatives ate a million years ago, up until about 10,000 years ago, at the beginning of agriculture.
So, what now? I remember with the Atkins diet, or I call it the Fatkins diet. I mean, where is he today? And all I remember would be all the health warnings that were out at that time, and you know, the concerns about kidney damage and all. So, but so what's everybody saying that's so great about the paleo diet, other than what they're being allowed to eat what they want to eat? They want to be told they can eat what they want to eat, or?
Exactly right. Good news about our bad habits. Now, the what a vegan diet or a healthy vegan diet has in common with paleo, and this is really what I tried to do, is bridge the gap in my book, is that it's unprocessed food. And, you know, if your great-great-great-grandmother wouldn't recognize it, then it's probably not something you would want to be eating, according to the paleo folks. Now, you know, they get into this concept of humanely raised meat, which, of course, as we all know, that's kind of a myth out there, too. But, you know, this idea that we can somehow eat foods in a more natural state, and then that makes it okay to consume meat and dairy. And, of course, they are still, I believe, going to be having the same kidney problems if they do this long term. And, you know, many of the issues that were common and still are common with the high-protein diets, whether you call it Atkins or the Zone or whatever it is, you know, it's very high protein is going to be a real burden on the kidneys and the heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of these folks are athletes, so I think that some of their heart issues may be disguised for a while. But eventually, you know, I certainly know runners my age who are having heart issues, and it is because they've consumed too much meat and dairy over their life. And they don't get that, and it's very frustrating to see that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, animal protein is deadly. I mean, it's carcinogenic, and they're still getting high saturated fat and cholesterol too, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, there's you know, it's just as bad whether it's humanely raised or is more in a natural state. It's going to have the same amount of cholesterol, of course.
Mm-hmm. Is Hillary Clinton on the paleo diet? Is that?
Don't get me started. Oh, too late. You did.
I did.
You know, she met this doctor, Mark Hyman. Just happened to meet him at breakfast one morning, and they got to talking, and so he somehow convinced her that a paleo diet would be a good thing for her and Bill. So that is what I've read online. Of course, you know, it's a very credible source, but I have read that in a number of places, and assuming that's true. You know, celebrities, it's hard, you know, they go with the wind. All I can tell you is I've eaten a plant-based diet for the better part of 30 years as I watched my mom and both sisters get breast cancer. We were part of the original breast cancer gene studies, and I have three daughters, and I just wanted to do, you know, use my investigative reporting skills to figure out the truth about food. And I have done a ton of research and reading, and I have nothing to sell, no axe, no agenda, no axe to grind specifically. I mean, I do this for health, but I also do it for the animals because as a reporter, I covered some of the worst animal abuse stories of my life. And just I was also a Leche League leader, breastfeeding information and support group. And this idea that a baby would be ripped from your breast as you're feeding it so that your milk could be used for another species is just mind-boggling.
It is. I mean, when we think about it, but luckily we don't think about it. Nobody encourages us to think about it, right? So it's like you get all the commercials, and now even I see some of the so-called vegans, people at Farm Sanctuary are saying, well, you know, but we really shouldn't encourage people to be vegan because giving up dairy is too difficult. So we really can't ask people to give up dairy because it's too hard, but... Yeah, what's the point of that? I mean,
Well, you're right. These rape machines that they use to extract the milk, or you know, encourage the cows to be producing milk. I mean, it is just nuts. And all these videos and the information is out there now. It's very hard to stick your head in the sand and pretend that you don't see. And yet, there is a lot of money to be lost in this battle. And the dairy industry is incredibly well-funded. As a runner and as a certified running coach, I saw a program a few years ago on an agenda called Marketing Chocolate Milk as the Ideal Recovery Drink for Children. And I'm going, are you kidding me? And they give out free chocolate milk at the end of races, a little carton to every finisher. I mean, it's so insidious. And
Ben and Jerry's has an ice cream flavor now that's supposed to fight climate change. So, you know.
Yeah, right.
So also Ellen Jaffe Jones, Kitchen Divided, what's that book about?
Well, as I went on the road talking about Eat Vegan on $4 a Day, I offhandedly asked my audiences, so how many of you live in mixed marriages where one of you is veg and the other is not? And a lot of eye rolling and many people raising their hands. And I thought, you know, I really need to address that. So a lot of the recipes in that book are the kinds of recipes where you can prepare your entree as a vegan and then the meat eater can throw in whatever they want to throw in, or maybe the entree for you is their side dish. And what I wanted to do was streamline the cooking process so that a vegan would not feel like they have to be a short order chef cooking different meals for everybody at different times of the day.
I see. Okay. So do you have a website and how people can get your books and reach you?
Yeah, my website is vegcoach.com, and I'm also all over Facebook. You know, each book has its own Facebook page, and me individually, of course, Twitter, YouTube, you know, the whole nine yards.
Okay. It's quite amazing, really. You're first in Florida in the 50, 100, 200, 400, 800, and 1500 meters. Is anybody competing against you, or are you the only one in these races?
Oh, yeah. Interesting. I mean, you know, I do kind of joke that I do win my age group a lot because it's just about showing up. But that's not really true. Actually, Florida is incredibly competitive. And when I competed at the National Senior Games a couple of years ago, I think the reason I did so well, in particular in the 1500, which is a longer race, is because the shorter distances were on day one and day two. And by day three, at the check-in registration table, I was hearing all these meat-eating women going, oh, you know, I'm just too sore, I'm too tired. And most athletes who are vegan understand that a vegan diet is very anti-inflammatory, very alkaline, and so the recovery is incredible. You know, me on day three, I was a little sore, but not enough to scratch or cancel competing. So it is a matter of attrition. And I find a lot of women in my age group are getting arthritis, something that most vegans generally do not get, especially as we age. And when I did my first marathon a few years ago, I felt like I could keep running at the end of 26 miles. I mean, it was a really weird experience, but just amazing what you experience. And many of us vegan athletes, we've been on panels together on the national lecture circuit, and we're all finding the same experience, a lot of energy and easy, easy recovery.
Well, that's wonderful. And so you go around also teaching cooking classes. What would you say your most popular favorite dishes are?
Well, of course, everybody wants to know how to save money. I did an event at the Miami Book Fair a couple of years ago, and somebody walks by and goes, well, I don't know about vegan, but you had me at $4 a day. So, you know, I like to show people how they can replace that meat and dairy with good quality protein, because everybody always asks you as an athlete, where do you get your protein? And I like, out of Paleo Vegan, there's a great mushroom curry dish that is so popular. I even, when I was at the New Orleans Veg Fest a few years ago, the owner of a bakery made it for a book event I was doing there, and she liked it so well they kept it on the menu. So, you know, there are just lots of different recipes. Each of my books has 100 recipes or so, and there's no overlap.
Terrific. And you find people around you getting healthier as a result when you encourage them to do this?
Around me, meaning like...
Meaning, you know, if people are curious and, you know, they come to your classes and they start getting involved with eating vegan foods, have you seen...
Absolutely. I do see that all the time. I do a series of regular classes up at a health food store in St. Petersburg, Rolling Oats, and a woman came in. Well, she's been coming in, and she finally showed us her driver's license picture, the whole class, her driver's license picture, and nobody recognized her. She had lost like 130 pounds. And I do see that that kind of weight loss, not every week, not every month, but every few months. In the different cooking classes that I do, even if they aren't taking my class, but they've just been doing a plant-based, balanced vegan diet, it is really incredible. Best kept secret in America. Why? Because ask your doctor next time you see them, when was the last time they took a nutrition class in medical school? Probably they never did.
Right, right, right. Yeah, it's always the pills and surgery. Well, we are out of time at the moment, and I have to ignite a vegan revolution against sellout organizations coming up. So, Ellen Jaffe Jones, I'd like to thank you for being with us today. The vegan books, Eat Vegan on $4 a Day, Paleo Vegan, and Kitchen Divided. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bob.
You want a revolution? Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
Okay, well, I say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. It's time for a revolution and an uprising against all of these sellout organizations who have betrayed the poor animals, the most vulnerable among us. It's time to end this charade. We've been sold a pack of lies from, you know, a pack of deviant opportunists or rather, well, meat, dairy, and egg industry operatives, it seems. There's no differentiation at this point between animal killers and animal rights activists. The animal rights movement has morphed into the meat, dairy, and egg industries, and now we have this bloody cesspool of deceit. That, you know, I mean, to show the depths to which the animal rights movement has sunk into this cesspool, we have the symbolic gesture of the animal rights movement at its annual conference, inducting a professional egg salesman into its AR Hall of Fame at its big gala event, you know, emceed by Jane Velez Mitchell, no less, and all the brainwashed robots in the audience applauding. If you applauded, if you didn't rise in protest, well, you're part of the meat, dairy, and egg industries, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not. If you are applauding an egg salesman, you know, you're not in your right mind, which is to be expected, you know, from what we're being sold by these organizations. But from the viewpoint of the animals, the animal rights movement is totally insane. From the viewpoint of the meat, dairy, and egg industries, it's another success story in profiteering from the exploitation of animals. You know, I mean, everybody at Farm's Animal Rights Conference, or ARCon, you know, I mean, it is a total con job. I mean, everybody there applauding was putting his or her hands together for the greatest cruelty on earth, for harsh confinement and mutilation and murder. You know, I mean, it's this year's AR Hall of Fame, you know, inductee, you know, works tirelessly in the commerce of hundreds of millions of eggs annually. Millions and millions of innocent hens, you know, their faces amputated, every single one of them murdered after exploitation. Of course, millions and millions of ground up poor male chicks also ground up or suffocated, male babies murdered at birth because they can't be exploited for the product sold by the 2015 AR Hall of Fame inductee. But the female hen can be because her shaft is a cloaca. That's right. The hen can be because her shaft is a cloaca. If you applauded for this egg salesman animal rights hero, you obviously approve of his lies to the public. I know it's not nice to say that somebody lies or call somebody a liar, but, you know, the truth is, lies. You know, this is an animal rights movement of lies, of psychopathic liars who expect you to embrace their lies and pass them on to others. A meat industry-controlled animal rights movement has to lie, right? I mean, it's a meat industry-controlled animal rights movement. It would have to lie, because if it really were an animal rights movement, it could never say the things it does with a straight face. You know, that's why it has to have the best animal betrayal specialists possible. People who care about animals can trust. You know, the meat, dairy, and egg industries do have the best animal betrayal specialists that money can buy. You know, look at the slick con men, you know, or at ARCon, the con men from HSUS, all, you know, those groups selling us, you know, humane meat over veganism. In fact, this meat industry animal rights movement is now attacking veganism with a vengeance, you know, saying, oh, it's too hard to be vegan. Don't ask people to give up dairy. That's too hard, you know. We can't be so strict. If someone has a little mayonnaise with egg in it, you know, eat it. You know, don't look like such an extremist. Don't get upset with us for saying vegans should, you know, eat a little mayonnaise, you know, with egg in it, right? You know, these are the activists, you know, like, don't get upset with us for saying you should eat mayonnaise with egg in it, or you look like an angry vegan. Oh, aren't we all angry? We're so angry. Angry. Well, I'm angry at this animal betrayal movement, and we will continue this discussion and play you really some smoking gun audio that'll make you say, enough, enough. I'm part of the revolution. I'm rising up against these animal betrayal specialists. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and you can register now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo, which will be nothing like the Animal Rights Conference, or ARCon, which I'm discussing. Professor Francione is off this week. He'll be back next week, and I'd have to say that giving an egg salesman inducting an egg salesman into the Animal Rights Hall of Fame is the it's the eggshell that breaks the vegans back here, and also at ARCon, we had a presentation from Matt Ball of Sellout Group Farm Sanctuary, who gave a very anti-vegan, pro-humane meat, pro-dairy presentation. I have to say that we know that humane meat doesn't exist, except now it's being added into the animal rights lexicon by Farm Sanctuary, and saying that it's actually, you know, saying it's a good thing that when people are eating humane meat. So I've been, whatever humane meat might be, because it doesn't exist, but I guess the concept. Anyway, I've been trying to practice the advocacy strategies suggested by Matt Ball, Farm Sanctuary's Ball here. Let me see if I can try that. Okay. You're interested in going vegan? It probably won't last. You know, may I suggest that you eat humane meat? And by the way, you'll never be able to give up cheese. You know, actually, giving up dairy is way too hard. So don't even try that. It's a lot easier to give up eating chicken. Give up chicken. What? I can't give up, you know, nuggets and wings. No, really. Give up chicken. Maybe you can start by buying some cage-free eggs. You know, that's pretty much the same as being vegan. In fact, cage-free egg salesmen just inducted into the Animal Rights Hall of Fame. So if you were thinking about going vegan, oh, just eat cage-free eggs and tell all your friends to eat cage-free eggs to do also, and you'll be an AR activist. And if you want bacon, of course, we have crate-free bacon. The Humane Society of the United States just gave away discount coupons for Applegate Humane Bacon, and you can have a BLT if you want, and little egg. There's some eggs in the mayonnaise. No big deal. You know, I don't want you to think we're extremists by caring if a little egg is in the mayonnaise. So, anyway. So, I don't understand these vegans attacking vegans. I don't even know how we can consider them vegans anymore. Didn't we go vegan to remove ourselves from the suffering of animals? We didn't want to participate in the violence against them, the torture, the murder, instead of, you know, making, you know, figuring out ways of marketing that. Since when did, we go vegan to promote violence and suffering and murder? I mean, these people, you know, may be vegan in their dietary choices, possibly, and maybe, you know, when they're in a room full of vegans, but, you know, when they're not in a room full of vegans, they are in a back room and they're plotting against the very animals that they're supposed to protect and defend. And actually, Farm Sanctuary organized an animal rights conference a while back, and thought that it would be good to hear from, you know, Farm Sanctuary, Gene Bauer, giving all of the animal rights, vegan respect to a speaker there named John Mackey. So first, let's hear Gene Bauer embracing, you know, giving all the vegan respect, all the animal rights respect to you know, our friend, our hero, John Mackey. He must be a great vegan, right? Let's hear that first one where Gene introduces John Mackey at the Farm Sanctuary conference, please. It's the first one.
Our next speaker is one powerful fella. He is one of the most influential people in the food business in this country. He also happens to be an outspoken vegan.
All right.
He's spoken out publicly to major media like the New York Times, Newsweek, about being vegan.
Cool.
I've also had the opportunity to be in meetings with him where he is speaking with folks who are not vegan about the benefits of being vegan.
All right.
So he does not shy away from who he is and speaking about what he is passionate about. He also seeks to incorporate his personal values and desire for a more humane, more compassionate world in the business world. And that can be quite a challenge. And I think each of us in our daily lives face such challenges, face being vegan in a non-vegan world. So it is now also he's a man who I've come to respect and admire greatly over the past several months as I've seen him in action at meetings among some people at his own business and otherwise. So anyway, it's now my pleasure to bring up John Mackey.
All right, I guess we all are going to respect and admire this man. He's a vegan, and well, let's hear what John Mackey has to say at the Farm Sanctuary conference here.
This process is a multi-stakeholder process, and the way it works is we brought in all these activist groups that you see down here, AWI, VVUSA, PETA, HSUS, ARI, and Farm Sanctuary have all participated. And if there's some other group here that's participated that I just left out, sorry, talk to me afterwards. You're not invited to the meetings anymore. I think that's everyone that's participating. We also have the producers come in. And there's a species at a time, and it's a quite a... And then we have a Whole Foods people that are there. We have animal experts, and they're all animal experts who are care deeply about animals, and PETA and Viva make sure that there are vegan type veterinarians that are there, that so that there's our vegan our animal expert scientists.
Duh.
So that will be a wide representation of science experts there, because you know, oftentimes you get into kind of a disagreement between what the producer says and what the animal rights people say, and mean, heck, Whole Foods doesn't know what to do. So we have to kind of refer back to the animal experts, and they need to sort of guide us. We also have our auditor there. So we're all together in this room, and we basically kind of had point by point, we sort of go through it, and we're getting better at it. Boy, it took a long time to do ducks. But we're getting a lot faster with it now because we've got enough species that we're beginning to learn what works and what doesn't work.
Wow. Is that not amazing? That's John Mackey, and he said Farm Sanctuary, HSUS, Animal Rights International, Viva USA, Animal Welfare Institute, all getting together in a back room to decide the acceptable torture of animals and therefore putting the stamp of happy meat on them. By the way, these clips are at humanemyth.org. As far as I'm concerned, this is the smoking gun, where they're getting together, they're planning the torture, species by species. Oh, ducks are hard, because they probably have to come up with some water or something, right? And just this gibberish about, oh, they made sure there were, what, vegan-type veterinarians there, and this is shocking that these backroom deals are going along, and this is at a farm sanctuary animal rights conference, and then I guess there was an activist in the audience who had some questions for Mr. Mackey. We have that clip also then, Ben?
I know you went on a little bit about a lot of the problems you're having with raising the ducks. Why do you continue to sell duck meat and veal and products like that? They seem kind of fringe. A lot of places have stopped selling them. And to be, you know, up and coming and new on the compassion scale.
Well, we believe that ducks can be raised humanely. And there's a strong customer demand for ducks, particularly the Asian population. America has had a huge influx of Asian immigrants, and they're duck eaters. They like ducks. They're into ducks.
And veal?
Whole Foods veal is very humanely raised. It's not tethered. It's not anemic. It's humanely raised as any cow is humanely raised. So we don't see that if it's a crime to kill an adult cow, it's a crime to kill a baby calf. I mean, same argument can be made for lamb or anything else. I mean, Whole Foods is a grocery store, and our customers want to buy dead animals. And I've already answered this. If we stop selling that, we're going to go out of business. And it can't happen because we can't. I mean, I can't stop it.
Is this not amazing? I mean, the selling out of veganism. Right there. You heard it. It's the selling out of veganism, the concept of veganism, right? Now it's, vegans get together in a back room and figure out species by species, even if it's difficult, even if there are ducks. I guess we have to figure out, how much water we need. I don't know if you're as shocked by this as I am. You should be. This should make you want to boot the entire animal rights movement to the curb and reboot and get involved. this is just too amazing. Farm Sanctuary, HSUS, Viva USA, Animal Rights International, Animal Welfare Institute, all in the back room. And what's important here? We need to keep Whole Foods in business with this humane myth. And suddenly, all of these products get an animal rights seal of approval. Is this unbelievable? I think we should listen to John Mackey again. I don't know if there's time before the break or not, but this is what the animal rights movement has come to be. Ben, do we have time to hear John Mackey again? The cut to the second one. Yeah. Okay.
Stakeholder process. And the way it works is we brought in all these activist groups that you see down here, AWI, Viva USA, PETA, HSUS, ARI, and Farm Sanctuary have all participated. And if there's some other group here that's participated that I just left out, sorry, talk to me afterwards. You're not invited to the meetings anymore.
I see. We have to go to the break. We have to go to the break. So we'll continue, but we'll just sit here in a state of shock at the betrayal of animals by your favorite groups. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and please join us at the World Vegan Summit and Expo next July in the San Francisco Bay Area. You can go to WorldVeganSummit.com. Also in the Bay Area is one of the world's finest vegan restaurants, Vegetarian House in San Jose, 520 East Santa Clara Street, 100% vegan, organic, delicious. Check out the menu at VegetarianHouse.us. And if you have an event coming up in the Bay Area, social event, business event, you're getting married, Vegetarian House caters, and therefore your event will be that much more special. Go to VegetarianHouse.us. Before the break, we were talking about the backroom plotting by PETA and Farm Sanctuary and HSUS and Viva USA and Animal Welfare International and Animal Rights International, all in the back room plotting with Whole Foods on what would be the acceptable torture, species by species, so that we can have humane meat and happy murder. And, you know, that's really quite amazing, but smoking gun audio on the betrayal of animals right there. Let's remember that all of these groups put center stage by Farm USA, organizer of the Animal Rights Conference. People like Farm Sanctuary, HSUS, Mercy for Animals, Compassion Over Killing, In Defense of Animals, ASPCA, all reversed previously held positions on cruel enriched modified battery cages. They reversed their positions to partner with United Egg Producers in support of these horrendous concentration camps. And now from the animal rights movement, folks like Mercy for Animals and HSUS and, you know, just the whole rotten bunch, we're getting these lies about the animals being able to enjoy the five freedoms of animal rights. All of these animals who will be sliced and diced and, you know, shoved into Nestle's Hot Pockets and be sold on the shelves of Walmart, will have enjoyed the five freedoms before being murdered. Those freedoms, like freedom from pain and fear and discomfort and injury. You know, all a lie. We're all a lie from an animal rights movement that is all a lie. I don't know how anybody can support these groups anymore. They're anti-vegan. They're outwardly anti-vegan. You know, Wayne Pacelli gets on TV and says, when asked, would being vegan help animals? He says, no, there's no need for that. You know, just eating humane meat. Just eat humane meat. And that's what these folks are all about right now. And again, well, if you missed it, of course you could rewind it and it'll be archived, but let's listen once again to, Gene Bauer of Farm Sanctuary. If all the animals at Farm Sanctuary are little props to, how could Farm Sanctuary not be in the interest of animals? Look, and of course, so many people who care about animals would work at Farm Sanctuary and really be brainwashed by these groups, But the animals are exhibits and, what's their purpose? If they weren't at Farm Sanctuary, if they had to endure the conditions endorsed by Farm Sanctuary, they'd be in a lot of trouble. And, you know, Gene Bauer introducing John Mackey as the vegan hero. You know, it's like, what did the vegan hero again say at Farm Sanctuary's conference, Ben? Can we hear that clip? The vegan hero, John Mackey? Yes, clip number two.
This process is a multi-stakeholder process. And the way it works is we brought in all these activist groups that you see down here, AWI, BVUSA, PETA, HSUS, ARI, and Farm Sanctuary have all participated. And if there's some other group here that's participated that I just left out, sorry, talk to me afterwards. You're not invited to the meetings anymore. No, I think that's everyone that's participating. We also have the producers come in. And there's a species at a time, and it's a quite a fa- and then we have a Whole Foods people that are there. We have animal experts, and they're all animal experts who are care deeply about animals. And,
well, they're all together. You can't tell the animal killers from the animal advocates anymore, can you? Very sad indeed. Okay, Professor Francione will be back next week. I want to thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. You can make a tax-deductible donation to have one voice out there for the animals. Go to goveganradio.com, click donate. Also register for the World Vegan Summit.